Amen. Thank you, Matthew. Well, it was a privilege last week to do the wedding of Matthew Ross. Some of you remember Matthew Ross, and that's where we were last week. Next Sunday, we have a guest speaker, Tancris Cassapia, who is a pastor in New Westminster. He's a Congolese pastor, and he and four or five of their singers from the choir will come and join us next Sunday and be part of our service. So we can look forward for that as well. And I think this is the last Sunday that Carol Pappas is here until you head off again. Is that right, Carol? Okay, we just want to, sometimes throughout the year, we mention who this person is, and some of you look around like, who are you talking about? So just stand up for a moment. Carol Pappas has been here for all of 3 weeks again. And she's teaching school in Abu Dhabi, and she'll be returning soon after some other tours. But welcome back. We did this 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, but she's about to say goodbye. So that's who it is. If we pray for her in January, now you know who we're talking about. All right. Very good. Well, turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 9. We are walking through the book of Mark as a church. 2 weeks ago, we spoke about the transfiguration of Jesus. 3 weeks ago, the transfiguration of Jesus, where he went up a mountain with Peter, James, and John, and suddenly they saw him talking to Moses and Elijah in heaven. And he was gleaming like shimmering light. And we're picking up the story right after that, 3 weeks later for us, but for them, it was the same day coming down the mountain. And children, you get the privilege of not having to go with Mr. and Mrs. Pedrosa to God's workshop. Isn't that great? You don't have to have Mr. Pedrosa picking on you today. And you get to listen to me. And we are talking about demons. Do you guys know what demons are? What's a demon? Who knows? What? Something that follows Satan. You're close, yeah? Good. An evil spirit, a satanic spirit. So a spirit that is not from God. One of the fallen angels that got kicked out of heaven because Satan rebelled with his friends. And some of you parents are looking at me like, oh no, where's he going with this? When we read Bible stories to our kids, we read everything that's in the Scripture. And it gives us a great opportunity to teach about all kinds of things. So this is where we come to in the Scripture this time. There's a really scary story. A scary story. Children, can you imagine if every so often one of your brothers or sisters just fell over in a seizure because of a devil? Not because they were sick, not because of epilepsy, but because of a demon that, especially when it was trying to hurt them. Like this little story we read is about a boy who every so often a demon would take his body and try to throw him into a fire or try to drown him in the lake or do something really bad to him. And his mom and dad couldn't help him. And the doctors couldn't help him. But Jesus could help him. And that's our story today. So we pick it up in Mark chapter 9, verse 14. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. Oh, by the way, this is a good news story. Good news that you can be free of these things. You know, these things do happen in our world today, right? Some of you experience this kind of stuff, right? I have. If you know my testimony, you know that I had numerous experiences like this. And Jesus set me free. And there's things that you and I cannot do that Jesus can do. So Jesus gives us power over the devil. And we read an interesting story today where Jesus sets this boy free. Pick it up in verse 14. When they came to the other disciples, where are they coming from? Down the mountain. So here comes Jesus, Peter, James, and John, back to the other nine guys. They've just stepped out of heaven. They've just been talking with Moses and Elijah. The presence of God is with them. And they come down and join the other disciples, and they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, They were overwhelmed with wonder, and they ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of his speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, he gnashes his teeth and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "Oh, unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground. He rolled around foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for him who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "This kind can come out only by prayer." Good news. Jesus has freedom, even when disciples can't find it. Jesus has freedom. And in today's story, we can learn a lot about the freedom that Jesus brings, but we can also learn about our role in setting captives free. You and I, like the disciples, are called to set people free. Our world, like their world, has people that Satan oppresses. This story that we read is not isolated to sometime 2,000 years ago. These things happen today. People that have these things happen to them don't generally sit around the dinner table and talk to you about it. They hide these things. They pretend they don't happen. Many times, it's not so much an ongoing physical attack that throws people across the room, but there's so many other ways in which people are oppressed by evil spirits. And they know what's going on, even though it's not so public to people around them at the dinner table. If you are oppressed by evil spirits, I want you to know there's freedom for you. I've never experienced anything quite as drastic as what this boy was experiencing. But I have experienced physically having demons hold me down to my bed. And I've experienced the power of Jesus casting them away. I did have a neighbor lady come and talk to us one time about her troubles and how the demons abused her throughout the night, how her husband would watch and be unable to help. These things are real in our day and age. And for many, many people, they have situations where evil spirits will feed into their thinking thoughts that are not theirs, increasing their anger, increasing their fear, increasing their problems, making things bigger than what they really are. Demonic is very real, and Jesus has freedom. As I was praying about this passage with David Deniger yesterday, he mentioned to me that it used to be standard practice in our church that when people first became Christians, or when people first asked someone, "Would you walk with me? Would you be my personal pastor?" that one of the standard things that we did is to sit down and pray together and say, God, is there any place that Satan is interfering in my life that you want to get freedom from? That used to be standard practice in our church as an understanding of what we did with those that we personally pastor. So I want to open just by saying these are real. This isn't just a story about history. And if you're experiencing some of these things, just because no one knows, just because you don't talk about it around the dinner table, doesn't mean that we don't believe these things, and it doesn't mean that you can't find freedom. You can find freedom very easily in Jesus. And there are times when we pray with people or people try to help us and we don't find freedom, like the disciples were not able to find freedom for this father. And we're going to find out why. So as we go to the scripture, just a bit of background. Verse 18, this man brings his son to the disciples and they could not drive out the demon. The literal translation of that passage in Greek would actually read, but they lack the strength. A father brings his son to the disciples, and they did not have enough strength to drive out the demon. But Jesus did. Why didn't they? If you've been with us in the book of Mark the last few weeks, you'll know that back in chapter 6, they did have the strength. Jesus sent out his disciples two by two into every village. And chapter 6, verse 12 says, they went out and they preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. The disciples had done this many times. They had been sent out two by two, and they had seen demons driven out of people. So when the Father came to them, we can assume that they probably had confidence. This was no different than the villages before. The issue wasn't that they were unwilling. The Father says they could not. They lacked the strength. It wasn't that they hadn't tried. It wasn't that they said, oh, we don't know anything about that. Go to the church down the road. It was they couldn't do it. But they had done it before. Something's going on in this passage that the disciples who had been driving out demons from village to village and preaching the good news of Jesus, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Believe the good news. Look what happens. Jesus is here. Sickness be gone. Devil, leave him alone. And they had seen it time after time after time. Why not this time? Something's going on in this story. The disciples lacked the strength. Second thing we see about this passage is a little bit of an insight into the spirit world. Somebody's fire alarm is going off. It's not a cell phone, it's a fire alarm. Okay, an understanding of the spirit world. What do we notice from this passage? Not that all sickness is caused by an evil spirit. It doesn't say that. We know that Jesus healed the sick. His disciples healed the sick. We also know that the Bible teaches that you and I live in a body that is decaying and wearing out. We live in a tent that is temporary. Someday, this body is going to wear out, and my new heavenly body will replace it, where there's no more sickness, no more troubles, no more arthritis, no more aches and pains. So not all sickness is caused by an evil spirit. But we also know from this passage that some physical problems are not just sickness. This one was an evil spirit. It is not accurate to just say that modern science has replaced all of these old notions. Some physical situations are caused by demonic activity. And we need to be aware of that and recognize that. The most hopeless thing in the world is for a father like this father, who goes from doctor to doctor to doctor, trying to cure something that isn't caused by a physical problem. That's a hopeless situation. Going from place to place to place, trying to fix something that no medicine will ever fix, that no amount of exercise will ever fix. Because there's a supernatural force that's bigger than you and I involved. But he's not bigger than Jesus. Something else we can understand from this passage about evil spirits. Hey, kids, here's an obvious one. Evil spirits are bad. They're evil. Part of that kingdom that tries to kill, steal, and destroy. There's nothing like good about it. Don't be deceived by people who talk to you about white magic. Don't be deceived by people that say that they can use some kinds of magic to fix other kinds of problems. That's as ancient can be. The teachers of Jesus' day were doing those kind of things. They were people who had all kinds of so-called cures by incantations that brought in evil spirits to fix other problems, but left you with bigger problems yet. That goes on in our day and age too, doesn't it? They call it white magic now. Evil spirits are evil. That's pretty obvious. It's here to kill, steal, and destroy. Now there's some good news about this story. We can also draw the conclusion that evil spirits, God doesn't want them in his people. Now that's good news. You and I are made in the image of God. You and I are made to be a temple that God dwells in. Not just you and I. Every human being on the face of the earth was created for the purpose of God inhabiting them and dwelling in them. The highest mockery against God is that Satan would dwell in a person instead of God. That an evil spirit would dwell in the image of God. It's not God's will, and that's good news. You can be confident that God doesn't want you to have to deal with evil spirits dwelling in your being. You can be confident that if you are up against spiritual forces, that God wants to bring freedom and set you free. That we see. Something else we see about evil spirits in this passage. They react to Jesus. It doesn't say that the people and the crowd were able to see the Spirit. But it does say that when Jesus walked up, the Spirit saw Jesus. And it says as soon as the Spirit saw Jesus, it reacted and threw the boy into a convulsion. I think one of the things that we need to be aware of is when do these kind of problems come on? Natural sicknesses seem to be an ongoing thing that can make a little bit of sense. One of the keys to recognizing when satanic involvement is there is when something just happens as a reaction to God. When someone comes into God's presence and they change through no explanation of their own. When something uncontrollable takes over their life that was not part of their will, something seems to just take over, not because they decided. These are all keys that make us aware of when the enemy is involved. It reacts to Jesus. Notice that this spirit did not have to obey the disciples, but it obeyed Jesus. They had tried, but it obeyed Jesus. So we see from this passage that the disciples lack strength, and we see some insights into the evil world of Satan's spirits. But we also see, number three, Jesus inspires faith. A father comes to him without faith. Would you have faith if from since childhood this had gone on? Here is his son. Surely he had tried many, many times to find freedom for his son. But since childhood this has gone on. And he comes to Jesus saying, "Well, I went to your disciples, but if you can do anything." And Jesus responds with, "If you can." He questions his lack of faith. "If you can?" And the father's response immediately was, "I do believe. I do believe. You've just inspired me. Something about the way you asked me that question just filled me with faith. Help me overcome my unbelief." That's all it took. He didn't go through 3 months of courses. He didn't have to read 5 Bible verses first. He was just in the presence of Jesus. And Jesus brought him faith. Jesus confronting him and saying simply, "You mean you don't think I can?" was all it took to convince him that freedom was right in front of him. Jesus inspired faith at a time when a debate between the teachers of the law and disciples did not inspire faith. Think about what that must have been like. What's a debate like? Two sides, both debating something out there. Jesus walking in to hear. A debate is when two sides both think they have information that they can compete with each other about to arrive at a winner. Jesus didn't even enter in. He just appeared as the answer. Disciples, full of answers based on where they had been in the villages around. Disciples, full of answers based on what Jesus had entrusted to them. But in the immediate setting, it wasn't working. Teachers of the law, full of answers based on all of their knowledge and all of their study. But in the immediate context, it didn't have any impact. In the middle of this debate between the know-its and the scholars, there's a need that's not being met. There's a child that's not being helped. There's a father that hasn't found faith. And Jesus walks into a debate and says, "What are you arguing with them about? Oh, you unbelieving generation, just bring them to me. Why don't you just bring them to me?" And he comes to him. And a father without any faith is suddenly full of faith. Notice also that this father has no faith, and yet he thinks that he has brought his son to Jesus. Have a look at verse 17 for a moment. Look at his words. "A man in the crowd answered, 'Teacher, I brought you my son.'" What? Jesus was up the mountain. "Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit," so forth and so on, "but your disciples could not help." Here's a man that understood these are followers of Jesus that he had sought out. These 9 guys have been with Jesus for a few years. They've been going around other villages doing this kind of stuff. And the father has come to Jesus, his 9. We need to be very aware that people come to you and I looking for Jesus. People bring you and I their troubles in the office. because you have been with Jesus. They talk to you beside the sidewalk, beside your yard, because they know that you're one of those God people. You're one of those believer people. And all over the world, there's people who are disillusioned with God because of unfulfilled expectations in a church. For right or wrong, when people come into a church, they are equating what they experience with their understanding of God. And it was happening even back here. I brought you, my son, but your disciples couldn't help. Praise God that he got to meet Jesus. There are people all over our city who think they've come to Jesus, but were disappointed by a church. They came to Jesus, but were disappointed by some disciples. Praise God that you and I can introduce them to Jesus directly. Let's not debate with the teachers of the law about that past experience. Let's not have some objective, distant conversation about something out there. Let's just bring this person to Jesus. Yeah, I know about all that stuff 5 years ago, but would you like to meet Jesus? Come, let's pray. Introduce them to Jesus. He has the power. What's going on in this story? A faithless father suddenly has faith, just a little bit, but it's enough. Help me overcome my unbelief. Number four, and lastly, what's God's word for us today about this? What is God's word for us today? It's good news. You and I can drive out demons. Why? Because look at how the story ends. The disciples go to Jesus after it's all over. They step aside into another room. Jesus, why didn't we drive him out? What's going on? Why weren't we able to? We did in all the other villages. You entrusted us with this. We didn't tell him we weren't able to. We didn't tell him we didn't have confidence. We didn't tell him we don't know anything about it. We've done this before. Why isn't it happening today? And Jesus' response says, because you need prayer. Now that's good news. That's good news. Jesus didn't respond with, oh, that was just my grace upon that season of your life. Jesus didn't say, oh, I just do that when you're a new follower. Jesus didn't say, oh, that's just a special anointing that some people get and other people don't. He's talking to all 12 of them. Even Judas is hanging out with them. And his only response was prayer. This kind comes out by prayer. And yet Jesus hadn't taken time to pray. Nor do we get any indication that when they were traveling to other villages before, that they had always had this formula of stopping for prayer first. Hey, somebody just gave me a ball. This is awesome. I need about 3 of these and we could juggle. Got it. In fact, Jesus says to the crowd, everything is possible for him who believes. We have full confidence. We have full joy. We can be sure that Jesus is promising freedom for anyone oppressed by demons. Everything is possible for him who believes. But Jesus, why couldn't we drive it out? Because this kind comes out only by prayer. Matthew tells the story in Matthew chapter 17, and his response, he includes what Jesus said with, because you have so little faith. I tell you, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. It's because there wasn't faith. It's because there wasn't prayer. It's not because there wasn't a calling on their life to drive out demons. It's not because only some people are gifted with that gift of driving out demons. It's for everybody, but it comes by prayer. The disciples had not relied on the power of God. They had relied on their past experience. And that is part of God's word for you and I today. What we've experienced before, God wants us to experience now. But we can't rely on having been there and done that before. Nor can you learn the right formula. It's not a matter of going back and asking, what are the words that I'm supposed to use when I drive out a demon? What's the right formula? Do I have to say in the name of Jesus 3 times? Do I tell it to go, or do I tell it to go where Jesus sends it to? That's not the issue. These were a bunch of fishermen who had been driving out demons, and suddenly the power had dried up. Suddenly the faith had dried up. I don't know about your life, but I know what I'm like. When I first started walking in the things of God, I prayed a whole lot more than I pray now. I did. You're scared spitless. You're walking into an encounter where there's demon possession, and you're scared. You better believe it, you're praying. And you better believe it, you're praying the night before. And you better believe it, you're praying on the drive over there. But how easily we can become like the disciples and just say, yeah, I know what that's all about. In fact, I'll even debate it with the teachers that don't believe this stuff. We can even sit down and have a Bible study with all those other people that don't believe this stuff, and I'll prove to them. Meanwhile, there's people that need help, and they're not finding it. Because helping them isn't based on my past experience. Helping them is based on them encountering Jesus now. Helping them is when they meet the presence of God now. And the presence of God doesn't follow just because 20 years ago I did something. The presence of God doesn't follow just because the teachers of the law have an accurate description of exegetical understanding of the passage. The presence of God happens when people are talking to God and fellowshipping with God. And Jesus told us that daily we should be praying, Father, give us today our daily bread. It's not that we pray, Father, teach me the formula so that I can go through the rest of my life knowing how to help people. It's, Father, give me today our daily bread. That's what the disciples had failed to be doing. You might remember when John Ogundare taught on prayer a year ago? The best teaching I've ever heard on prayer was John Ogundare. And he talked about Jesus as the captain of the army. And we gather around him to find out what his orders are. Prayer is gathering around Jesus about a situation. Jesus, we got this little boy coming up. His dad needs help. What do you want to do here? Jesus, I don't have any power. Jesus, I can't give this guy faith. Jesus, if you would come and meet this guy, he'll have faith. If you would come and he doesn't have any hope, he's hopeless after all these years. Jesus, come and introduce yourself to this guy. That's our key. This kind only comes out by prayer. The evil spirits that come around your friends, they're only going to find freedom when you go full of prayer and full of the power and the presence of God and introduce them to Jesus and set them free. And these disciples went on to do that. It wasn't just something that happened in chapter 6. We read the whole book of Acts and they continued to do this. So much so that the Apostle Paul says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, it's about power. Why does he say that? Because the kingdom of God isn't advancing just by people having Bible studies and explaining things accurately. The kingdom of God advances when people walk in with the presence of God and say, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Turn around. Believe. Don't you want to meet Jesus today? Be free. Devil, leave this person alone in Jesus' name. That comes by you and I fellowshipping with God, and that's called prayer. Give us today our daily bread. In this passage, we can see a little bit of the evil of the enemy's realm. In this passage, we can see how, like the disciples, we are unable when we lack the strength. And in this passage, we can see that we become able through prayer. And that when we become able through prayer, faith is inspired to others. People without a hope can have freedom. But the key is for you and I to pray and draw close to God. May God lead us and bless us. Amen.